Welcome to Theory of Pets. I'm a passionate pet owner with a drive to help others like me uncover the truth about the pet industry and what goes on behind the scenes. We are quickly wrapping up the first month of the new year. Many people are looking back, reflecting on some of those resolutions that they made and trying to figure out how to continue forward through 2020, making those resolutions come true. One of those resolutions that a lot of people focus on is weight loss. And that is something that has been a huge topic in the pet industry right now as well. As with obesity in the human world, pet obesity has become a huge epidemic. And this week, I talked with pet obesity expert Professor Alex German. Back in November, he gave a talk. It was titled Tipping the Scales: How Can We Make a Dent in Pet Obesity? He gave that talk with public health dietitian associate professor Hilda Mulrooney, and they gave the talk at British Veterinary Association Congress at London Vet Show. That was back on November 15th. That talk was very informative and had a lot of eye-opening information that I really thought pet parents should know. I wanted to speak with Professor German on the topic. He is a professor of small animal medicine at the University of Liverpool, and you can actually find him on social media. His tag is at the fat vet on Twitter. So he really is focused on pet obesity and how he can help pet parents realize what this epidemic is doing to our pets and how we can help curb the epidemic and start tipping the scales, so to speak, the other way. So today I spoke with him about pet obesity, the dangers of pet obesity, and he's going to also educate us and talk to us a little bit about some of the things that we can do to help lose those extra pounds.
So my name's Alex German. I'm a professor of small animal medicine at the University of Liverpool. My main clinical and academic interest for the last sort of 15, 16 years has been obesity in pets, particularly cats and dogs. And I guess the main thrust of that interest has come through running a specialist weight management clinic at the university. That's a clinic funded by Royal Canin and Mars Pet Care. So through running that, we've seen lots of cats and dogs. We've helped them lose weight, improve their quality of life, but in so doing have learnt a lot about both obesity in our pets, successes of weight management and weight loss, but also the challenges it brings, particularly to the owners.
And unfortunately, pet obesity seems to be a growing epidemic. What do you think is causing this unfortunate trend?
Obesity is a complicated problem. We now recognize it to be, in fact, a multifactorial disease. There are many parallels between what we see in the obesity in our pet species and in people. It's maybe not surprising. Our pets are living in a similar environment to us, one where food is plentiful. It's also activity. I guess as time goes on, we're less and less active. Our pets are less active, possibly because we're busier. But there's lots and lots of factors involved. People always used to think of obesity just as a sort of simple problem of energy balance. Eating too much, not exercising enough, but there's a lot that actually is involved under the surface. So we know there are genetic factors, there's that environment, there's the interaction that our pets have with their owners, the fact that most owners show their love by giving food. There's a whole lot of other things going on. So I think what we've actually got is a perfect storm of all of these factors which are contributing to the problem that we face today.
And what are some of the health risks? You mentioned that you have really been focusing on pet obesity now for over a decade, and you've seen a lot of the health risks associated with pets being obese.
Yeah, so I guess that there are sort of three main aspects of the risk that obesity brings. First, in some studies that we've done, we know that particularly dogs that are overweight tend to live a shorter life. That was some work I did with Banfield and Mars Pet Care last year. So essentially it means that our pets don't live as long. We know that obesity in both cats and dogs is associated with a number of other illnesses, a bit like it is in people. So in people we see things like joint disease, diabetes, respiratory disease, similar sorts of diseases are seen in our cats and dogs. And then finally, again through studies we've done, our pets have a poorer quality of life overall. So it's not just a shorter lifespan and all that disease, it's just they're not enjoying things as much.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. It's similar to being obese as a human.
Absolutely, yeah.
So are there risk factors that would make a pet more prone to obesity than others?
Yeah, certainly. There's a lot there. I sort of alluded to some of it earlier, but we know genetics plays a part. Interestingly, in people, they reckon that could be up to 70% of a person's risk of obesity comes through their own genes.
Wow.
I mean, it's not just genes, obviously, it's how those genes interact with the environment that, again, we mentioned earlier. We certainly know genetics plays a very strong part because it's so much more common, obesity is so much more common, for example, in certain breeds of dog, particularly our flat-faced breeds, pugs and bulldogs, they're particularly prone, as are Labradors. We've only just started scratching the surface for the genetics that are involved. So a couple of years ago, some work I was involved in, we identified the first gene associated with appetite and obesity in Labradors. There's likely to be many, many more. There are over 50 in humans. So genetics is playing a part, but as I say, it's an interaction with the environment. I think one of the key environments for our pets is the family. In many respects, we should see obesity as a family issue. We know children that are born to parents that have obesity are also likely to develop obesity themselves. The same is true of pets. So owners that are overweight are likely to have pets that are overweight. So it's not surprising. We see our pets as another child, another member of the family.
Right.
So it's this family unit, if you like, that probably puts some most strain on the situation.
And are there certain health conditions that would cause a pet to gain weight?
Yes. So the bottom line is, just like in people, pets will gain or lose weight through the balance of energy intake to expenditure. That is the ultimate mechanism. But as I tried to allude to already, there's lots of factors that are involved in that. There are certain illnesses that will make that more likely. The one we always think of in dogs is hypothyroidism, so an underactive thyroid gland. So essentially the thyroid gland controls metabolism. So of course, if it's underactive, then the whole metabolic rate is slower. That therefore puts that individual at more risk of gaining weight. And probably, though, the most common one that we see, certainly in the patients we see at Liverpool, is orthopedic disease. So we know dogs in particular are prone to developing arthritis, things like cruciate ligament problems, and so on and so forth. And of course, all of those things are going to restrict activity, which again, through that energy balance, is going to make that individual prone to gaining weight.
Are there things that pet owners should be looking for to determine whether the weight gain is caused by a health problem or another factor?
Yeah, I think to be honest, things like the lameness is obvious to particularly to a dog owner, on the basis that most dog owners will be regularly taking their pets for a walk, so they know when they're stiff, they know when they're lame, they know when they're less active. Any signs like that, any signs of pain, obviously go check out, get your pet checked out with your vets. Cats can be more challenging, and that's because they tend to hide their signs. And of course, cat owners don't routinely take their cats for a walk. And in fact, cats actually are very prone to arthritis, but we under-recognize it. That's because the most obvious signs, or the signs, if you looked at the study, the signs that you tend to see are a cat sleeping a bit more or being reluctant to jump up onto a high surface. So it's a very, very subtle thing that we've often missed. People often, because these diseases occur later in life, they sometimes think that, oh, my cat's sleeping more. That's just because they're getting older, they're more sensible than they used to be. But they're sort of missing the fact there's an underlying problem. So that's more of a challenging one. That's all the bad news. Part of the good news, and we'll hopefully talk a little bit more about this in due course, is that successful weight loss can dramatically improve quality of life and also mobility. And part of that, I think, is reduction of the pain associated with things like the arthritis if they've got it.
So let's say a pet owner is concerned that their dog or their cat might be overweight. How can you tell if your pet is overweight? Obviously, the average weight of a dog and a cat can vary greatly based on size and breed.
Absolutely, yes. So the equivalent, I guess the pet equivalent of a body mass index is a thing called a body condition score. There are various systems available, but they all work in a similar way. So what you do with a body condition score is it's a visual assessment and it's a sort of hands-on touch type of assessment. It's actually best done by a veterinary professional, a vet tech or a veterinarian. But you can sort of do a sort of rough and ready assessment yourself. So essentially the best thing, I guess, in terms of looking at it is if you take a flat hand and run the hand along the sides of your dog or cat's body, ideally when they're standing, just along where the ribs are. Ideally you shouldn't be putting any pressure, and you should be able to feel the bumps of the ribs quite easily. They should be a very slight covering, so they shouldn't be like razor sharp, but you shouldn't have to push much to actually be able to feel the ribs. If you're pushing in before you can actually feel the bumps of the ribs, it's implying there's more fat there than there should be. So that would be one of the sort of warning signs. Another very quick thing you can do, looking both from the side and above, there should be a nice defined waist. So after the back of the ribs from the side, the lower surface of the body should tuck up quite dramatically, and from above there should be a lovely hourglass figure, and again that tends to suggest a dog is in a good condition. And so best done by a vet, they can check it out, but those are probably the quickest ways that an owner can just have a rough guide as to how they're doing.
All right, so let's say somebody notices that their dog or their cat is overweight. What are some ways that pet owners can help their pets shed some of those unwanted pounds?
The first thing I would suggest is that they go and have a conversation with their vet, because most sort of weight loss plans are best done with the support of a vet. If you're dog or cat is only a little bit above ideal weight, then just a very slight reduction in the amount of food they're eating, coupled with a slight increase in activity, might be enough to return that pet to a more perfect weight, as it were. If, however, they're more overweight than that, I think sadly most of the dogs and cats we see are more sort of markedly overweight, then it's actually best to use what we call a therapeutic weight loss diet. It involves changing to a different diet, which is designed to help that pet lose weight. Again, best done in conjunction with a vet that can give you guidance on how much to feed and can monitor the whole process of weight loss. The diets themselves are designed to make the cat or dog feel fuller, even though they're having fewer calories. And they're also, they're higher in protein and vitamins and minerals. So when you're cutting all the calories, you're not cutting the goodness, the essential nutrients as well. So I think that's probably the best thing. Have a chat with your conversation with your vet. They can advise on how best to go in most situations, it is advisable to use one of these therapeutic diets.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today. Was there anything else that you'd like our listeners to know about pet obesity?
I guess the main observations that I've made is that, as you said earlier, the problem is getting worse. I do think there's a sort of collective responsibility for all of us to do more about it. And so I think just to encourage people, if in doubt, get your pets checked out at the vets, have more conversations with vets about that. And I just want to emphasize the fact that only a small amount of weight loss can improve that quality of life. So it may be that we've got an individual that's got a lot of weight to lose, but they may only need to lose about 6 or 7% of their current weight, which they can do quite comfortably within a month or two, to feel a lot, lot better. And of course, that's what we want. We want our pets to be healthy and happy.
For sure. I'm sure everybody would agree with that. You know, it's always, as you said, a lot of us show our love to our companion animals by feeding them, giving them treats. But there are a lot of other ways to do that, spending time with them, playing with them, lots of petting and praising, you know, so you can kind of steer away from those extra calories, and it will help your dog's quality of life or your cat's quality of life in the end. So that's certainly the goal for all of us, I think.
Absolutely. Yes. So, I mean, as I said earlier, you know, treats, you know, food is love. That's what, you know, we tend to use food rewards, but there's lots of other things. Playing with your dog or cat, taking them for a walk, all of those things are positive rewards. And substituting treats, one of the treats we like to use a lot of is zucchini. And believe it or not, both dogs and cats will eat that. And so they're getting a reward, they're getting a food reward, but actually they're not getting the calories. So there's lots of little things that we can do. So you're showing your love, but in a slightly different way.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again so much for being here and being a guest on the show. I really appreciate it. This is great information, and I'm excited to share it with our listeners.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.
I just want to give a big shout out to Professor German. Again, another thank you for being here. I think anybody who follows my podcasts, or if you guys follow me on Top Dog Tips, my product reviews, how-to videos, guides, all of that, you will notice that there is a lot of information on there about pet obesity, how to help your dog lose weight a healthy way, different options for treats and food diets that can help a pet lose weight. It's so, so important. I know, you know, Professor German said it best when he said, a lot of times we show our love through food. And I think that's true for humans and for pets, especially us towards our pets. You always want to show your dog how much you love them or how happy you are with what they're doing by giving them treats. And we can find healthier ways to do that to keep the unnecessary weight off our dogs and our cats, because at the end of the day, it's not doing them any favors. It's actually cutting back into their health. It's making more problems than it's actually solving. And in the long run, it's going to take years off of our pets' lives if they are obese. So it's something that you really want to be mindful of. If you are struggling, if you do have concerns, make sure you see your veterinarian, ask for some help, and you can get your pet back on the right track in no time. Thank you guys so much too for listening, for tuning in. If you have any questions or there's anything that you've been wondering about that you're trying to find answers to, jump on our website, theoryofpets.com. You can leave comments, questions, suggestions for future topics. All of that would be very helpful while you're on there as well. If you could leave a quick review, that always helps me when I'm reaching out to experts like Professor Germain. I can show them that you guys are out there listening and that you want to hear more. Thanks a lot for tuning in, guys. I'll be back with another hot topic next week.